Wow, welcome back, man. Last week we were talking about, you know, the scribes and the Pharisees. Jesus is condemning them, and we see the modern day Pharisees and scribes today. They're among us. They're among us. They're with us. They never left. They just had children, and their children grew up, and they became Pharisees. I'm sorry, man. God bless you guys. Welcome to Growing in His Word. Look, last week we were talking about the love, the best places at the feast and the best seats in the synagogues and the greetings in the marketplace. And they like to be called by men, Rabbi, Rabbi. But you do not call, but do not be called Rabbi, for one is your teacher, is Christ only. We talked about the Pharisees wanting to be the big shots. And we see it today, even in our workplace. We see it sometimes, you know, it's just everywhere. We're living in those days, believers. And, you know, you guys got to be ready, man. We're seeing it, man. We're seeing, you know, we're seeing the end times, you know. And I'm not like an end times guy, but we see it. We're starting to see it, man. Revelation. We're seeing all the actual signs in Daniel. And we're going to talk about that too today, man. God bless you. Holy Spirit, come now, Father, and aid us in this time. Lord, we ask that you teach this study, Father, in your name, Jesus. Amen. Listen, God bless you guys, man. Welcome to Growing in His Word. We're in chapter 23. And it's the same chapter as in Mark chapter 12 and Luke 20. They're all together in a sense. Luke gives a better, you know, reasoning of it because he was a doctor. So, and we see the Pharisees, they're trying to sit in Moses' seat, and they are trying to observe that which is, you know, going on the scribes were pretty much official copiers of the Old Testament scripture, and they were also teachers of the law. And so the Pharisees and the scribes took the scriptures at face value, so their instructions were to be followed. However, Jesus warned the people of the Pharisees' legalism. And it's true. Their tendencies to value their own rules and regulations over scriptures. And they followed their external laws, you know, meticulously. And they appeared to be, you know, righteous, but yet the people were not to imitate their actions. For although they appeared righteous, their hearts were filled with all kinds of envy, hatred, and malice. And that's what we see today in the Christian home, some of them. Some Christian homes are like this. Their parents are really strict when it comes to Christ. They're there to shell out money for, you know, whatever they want in the body of Christ. But yet their kids at home are neglected in a sense where they can't even play with G.I. Joes. In fact, I knew a family my son was growing up, and that, you know, their son would not let my son play. My son could not play G.I. Joe toy action figures with him because it was, oh, it's legalism. It's violence. And the kid, you know, their kids ended up growing up to be, you know, the opposite of what Christ wanted. They became the Pharisees because this is what we see today in the home. The parents are so worried about their kids making the wrong decisions in life, they don't trust them, to where now they're actually not educating them about the real part of grace, God's mercy, love. I'm not saying to let your kids go out and sin. I'm saying educate your kids and don't be caught up in the Pharisee laws. Because the legalism is what destroys a person. Legalism, legalism. You got to do it this way. You got to do it that way. No, you don't. Let Christ in you live. Let the Holy Spirit live in you and work in you. That's what we're saying. That's what the Bible's saying. That's what Jesus is saying. He's saying, be free. I've set you free. I've set you free. You don't have to worry anymore. I'm going to bless you. And so the Pharisees, you know, they would go out and they would actually try to get the best places and positions of honor in the banquets and the best seats of the first, you know, in the first seat, in the first row seats in the synagogues. And they would, you know, they'd face the congregation and they would, look at me, look at me. We see that today. look at me. Aren't I beautiful? Look at me. I did that for that person. I did that for him. And look at what I did. And God says, woe unto you. You just have your reward. You just got your reward. You know, see, the Bible says not to do something without, you know, your right hand knowing. It says not to boast when you give to the alms. And, oh, I fed so many people today. I went to Hungary and I started a whole big congregation of churches. I want a book now about me. Or I went to Belgium and started all these churches. I went to this and I went to that and I look at me. God says, woe unto you, you Pharisee and hypocrite. It's not about you. It's about Christ in you. And so Paul was saying the same exact same thing in Galatians. We see it. Jesus said in verse 13 of Matthew chapter 23, he said, woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, you hypocrites. For you shut up the kingdom of heaven against men, for you neither go in yourselves, nor do you allow those who are entering to go in. They won't even let them in. They won't let anyone in. And so they pretend to be something they are that they're not. And they stop God's power. They try to stop what the Lord is trying to do in someone's life. And hypocrites, he says, for you devour widows' houses for your pretense and you make long prayers. Therefore, you will receive greater condemnation. And last week we left off on that and we talked about it. And it says in verse 15, woe to you scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you travel land and sea to win one proselyte. And when he is won, you make him twice as much son of hell as yourselves. Woo-hoo-hoo! Anybody know anybody like that? I know lots of guys like that. Lazy. Dangerous. Dangerous to the cause of God. The religious authorities taught that oaths based on the temple, the altar, and heaven were not binding. But the oaths sworn by God, by the God of the temple, the gift of the altar, on the altar, or God, were binding. And Jesus pointed out the absurdity of such teaching and called the leaders blind guides. And so here we are. It says, woe to the blind guides who say whoever swears by the temple is nothing, but whoever swears by the gold of the temple, he is obligated to perform it. Foolish and blind, for which is greater, the gold or the temple that sanctifies the gold? Here we're talking spiritual. The money is not the key. Just keep your money out of the churches. Keep your gold and your money and your business dealings out of the churches. Pharisees. What a waste. Because in the end, God judges everybody. And we see verse 17 where he says, fools and blind, for which is greater, the gold of the temple that sanctifies the gold. And whoever swears by the altar, it is nothing. But whoever swears by the gift that is on it, he is obligated to perform it. Fools and blind, for which is greater, the gift or the altar, and sanctifies the gift. Therefore, he who swears by the altar swears by it. And by all things on it, he who swears by the temple swears by it. And by him who dwells in it, and he who swears by heaven swears by the throne of God, and by him who sits on it. Woo! Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you pay tithe of the mint and anise, that was the spice, anise, and cumin, and have neglected the weightier matters of the law, justice and mercy and faith. These you ought to have done without leaving the others undone. Blind guides who strain out a gnat and swallow a camel. You see, these Pharisees, they're good at, even today, going into the church, and they'll sit there, and these leaders in modern day society will take their Bible and say, "Oh, I have to go upstairs and sit in my office for 10 hours to study for 1 half-hour sermon on Sunday." And I'm not laughing at the pastors. I'm laughing because they're trying to say that the Holy Spirit can't work. "Well, the Bible says to study yourself approved." Pharisees, listen, hypocrites. "Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you cleanse the outside of the cup and dish, but inside they are full of extortion and self-indulgence." This is what he's saying, verse 25. "Blind Pharisees, first clean the inside of the cup and dish, that the outside of them may be clean also." It's sad. You're living in a society today that is in revelation. We're living in revelation, where the churches have become, the apostate. The church is revelation, and we're talking about Jude. We see it. The church, they're being corrupt. They're corrupted with sexual immorality and with, you name it. It's Laodicea. We see it. It's scary. We're living in it. Don't be upset, believers. Don't be upset when you see pastors do rotten things, and then, when they're preaching one thing and do another. Just remember, it's Laodicea. It's the compromising church. And it's Revelation chapter 2. It says it. Listen, believers, chapter 2 says you have the persecuted church, okay? And that they, the devil is about to throw some of you into prison, that you may be tested, and you will have tribulation 10 days. "Be faithful until death, and I will give you the crown of life. He who has an ear, let him hear." Hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Listen, "He who overcomes shall not be hurt by the second death." The compromising church in verse 12. "And to the angel of the church of Pergamos writes these things, says, he who has a sharp two-edged sword, I know your works and where you dwell, where Satan's throne is. And you hold fast to my name and did not deny my faith, even in the days in which Antipas was my faithful martyr, who was killed among you where Satan dwells. But I have a few things against you, because you have therefore," listen to this, "have you there those who have, you hold the doctrine of Balaam." Wow. "Who taught Balak to put a stumbling block before the children of Israel to eat the things of sacrifice idols." It goes on to talk about the corrupt church in verse 18 and how the church is going to be corrupt. And then it talks about the dead church, the church of Sardis, right? It goes on to talk about the morning star and how it's Christ himself, and how Satan, the great tribulation, it's going to happen. Listen, a sick bed where a believer involved in the prolonged unconfessed sin may end up in the next step of God's discipline is death. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Sin can be the great tribulation here. Listen, this is an individual believer's life, okay? And it's not the great tribulation that will come upon the world prior to Christ's return, but I'm talking about something else. We're talking about two different things here. We're talking about the corrupt church and how the corrupt church is here. We're living in the corrupt church. We're living in these days. So don't be upset when you see the corrupt church. And the angel of the church of Thyatira writes that these things are the Son of God, who has an ear, who has eyes like a flame of fire, and his feet like fine brass. I know your works, your love, service, faith, and your patience. Listen, and as for your works, the last are more than the first. And it goes on to talk about the Jezebel spirits and all the great tribulation and all the and how nasty the church is today. Not all of them, some of them. And so we see this in Matthew. We see it in Matthew. It's happening. He says, "Woe unto you, scribes." He's saying, "Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you cleanse the outside of the cup and dish, but inside they are full of extortion." Yeah. And self-indulgence. You see it today. Verse 26, you know, oh, and they'll claim to be, oh, yeah, we're not extorting. We're not hirelings. We're doing the Lord's work. We need to get paid too. After all, we're serving the Lord and bringing people to Jesus. At the same time, they're trying to set you up like Judas, sell you out. But God knows. God knows verse 26 where it says the blind Pharisees first cleans the inside of the cup and dish that the outside of them may be clean also. Jesus wants to cleanse you. Listen, false pastors out there, Christ wants to cleanse you. False teachers, he wants to cleanse you. "Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you are like whitewashed tombs, which indeed appear beautiful outwardly, but inside are full of dead men's bones and all uncleanness. Even so, you also outwardly appear righteous to men, but inside you are full of hypocrisy and lawlessness." You see, I've seen it. God has allowed me to see it in the church. And he's saying, "Yo, I put you through this for a reason, so that you can reach out to others and not let them be washed away from the Lord. Don't be angry. You need to pray for them, because they're part of the Laodicea church in Revelation chapter 2, where God's going to judge them. It's up to us to pray for them. We don't need to say their names. God knows their names. It's like that song. He knows my name. He knows my every thought. He sees each tear that drops, and he hears me when I cry. He knows their names. He knows what they are. That's why he's saying, "Woe unto you. Woe unto you. Woe unto you who take 25 hours, a whole week. I need a whole week upstairs. Leave me alone. Shut the door. Don't come in. I need to study for my sermon." Really? You're just saying that the Holy Spirit can't work. You've been to college already. So you're just, what are you really doing? Well, it's not my business. It's God's. It's you know, it. I can't come down and go out and witness to the lost. I have to study for 25 hours. Dude, there's millions of people out there that need your get out there. Greet, meet, and love on people, man. Oh, no. I need that 25 hours to study that sermon. I got to type it up. I got to type up this sermon because I'm not filled with the Holy Spirit. I got to type it up and read it word by word and make you feel good with stories. A guy told me a long time ago, "You should tell stories." I'm like, "What do you mean? The Bible's a story itself." "No, but you should, you know, you should really tell stories about... Oh, you should really tickle the ears like Elmo. Tickle me, Elmo." Years ago, they had that doll that came out. Ooh, ooh, ooh. And you should tickle the congregation so, you know, they can laugh and do stand-up comedy in God's church. Oh, amazing. That'll do it. Yeah. Lord, I did stand-up comedy for you when, you know, I made them laugh. So when they went home, they were just laughing about the stories I told about the poor guy on the piano. Pharisees, hypocrites, get out there. Get to the, you know, I want to see pastors in third world countries with Bibles. Oh, they're too busy. They have to take care of these sheep. Sheep? We're all sheep. He's just a shepherd. There's no difference. Get out there, lazy. Get out there and win souls over. That's not my calling. Oh, it is. It is your calling. Get out there. Get out of your big fat church and get out there and tell people they love them. Go to the lost. Go to the byways, the highways. Get to the needy people. They're hurting. Take phone calls. Oh, if we did that, we wouldn't have time. That the pastor would be overburdened. Oh, yeah, that's a good one. I take 50 million calls a day and I still work. They're lies. These are the lies that the Bible here is talking about. They're Pharisees and hypocrites. They've just had children. See, the Pharisees and hypocrites were 2,000 years ago, but they're still here. They just had children and they grew up and they had children and their offspring, and now they're here still. There's no difference. Jesus is saying, ship up or ship out. Get the ship out of here. Clean your life. Clean up. Repent. Repent, dude. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, verse 29. Check it out. Watch this. In verse 28, back it up. Even so, also outwardly they appear righteousness to men. Oh, or am I holy? But inside they're full of hypocrisy and lawlessness. Woe to you, scribes, Pharisees, and hypocrites, because you build the tombs of the prophets and adorn the monuments of the righteousness, and say, if we have lived in the days of our fathers, we would not have been partakers with them in the blood of the prophets. Listen to this. Therefore, you are witnesses against yourself that you are sons of those who murdered the prophets. Fill up then the measure of your father's guilt. Serpents broad of vapors. How can you escape the condemnation of hell? Therefore, indeed, I send you prophets, wise men and scribes. Some of them you will kill and crucify, and some of them you will scourge in your synagogues and persecute from city to city, that you may come all the righteous blood shed on the earth, from the blood of righteous Abel to the blood of Zechariah, son of Berechiah, whom you murdered between the temple and the altar. Surely I say to you, all these things will come upon this generation. We see it. We see it. Abel was the first person murdered in the Old Testament. Zechariah was the last. Zechariah's death is recorded in 2 Chronicles 24, chapter verse 20, in the last book in the Hebrew canon. And Jesus was saying that from the beginning of the Bible until the end, true followers of God had often been treated in this manner. Son of Berechiah, in the 2 Chronicles chapter 24, Zechariah is called the son of Jehoiada. Zechariah, the prophet, is called, listen to this, the son of Berechiah in Zechariah 1:1. It's possible. That Jehoiada was the grandfather of the murdered Zechariah. And Berechiah was his father. And so persecution was happening. They were persecuting. They were, you know, this is what they did. They continue to do it. They love it. Because they are part of Laodicea. They're supposed to do it. They're going to burn in hell when God sees them. Unless they repent. No pastor deserves to have a big, giant house. With big, giant Rolls Royces and airplanes. They don't deserve it. While poor people suffer and die on the streets of hunger. Nobody deserves that. Believers, listen to me. Nobody. No pastor, no deacon, no pastor of no church should have any kind of that money, even at their fingertips and control. It should be the churches. And there should be accountability in these churches. And there's none. I don't see any. And as a believer and a pastor myself, I would never, ever, ever take money from a congregation and go buy an airplane, because I don't receive money. I am the non-receiver believer. I am the one that God put on this earth for a little while to expose the ones who are not real. And the radical part is I don't have to say a name. Jesus points it out here. Well, that's discouraging. Well, it's not, because that's the beautiful part of it. Revelation chapter 2 says that they are the church of Laodicea. And I'm hitting it hard this month in this chapter, because this study is about exposing the Laodiceans and what's going on. I'm not going to preach like this every week until the Bible's done. I'm preaching only on this subject. It's a series on how to spot the garbage in the Pharisees. Listen, there's Pharisees out there. They want to take advantage of you. They take advantage of your business. They take advantage of your kindness. You deliver something to them and they steal from you. But God will deal with it because Jesus says, the least you've done unto those, you've also done unto me. Jesus is watching everything people do. Nothing ever gets unaccounted for in God's kingdom. He knows how many hairs are on your head. He loves you. Follow Jesus. Don't worry about the drama. That's why I'm preaching this. Don't worry about church politics. Stay out of it. I got sucked into it years ago and I got out of it. And God showed me that for a reason. And I asked myself, why did I go through this, believers? And God said, so I can show you, Yossi, so you could teach the sheep not to be upset when it happens to them. And so that they know that the church is Laodicea. Anytime you see it happen to you, go to chapter 2 of Revelation. And know that it's not your fault. And that God has allowed it for the coming of his kingdom. He's coming. He's coming for us, believers. The rapture's coming. We just have to wait and get out there and be about his business. And pray for those rotten pastors with the airplanes and the false healings and all this stuff. Pray for them. Because they're going to get it. Pray for those who wrongfully despise you. They're going to get it. Pray for the ones who use you and think they're going to get away with it, because what goes around comes around. It happens. Vengeance is mine, thus says the Lord. Step back and don't let the devil rob your joy. Don't let Satan steal what Jesus Christ gave you. Remember when you were first born again, that love and zeal and happiness that you had for Jesus, and you would go tell your family members, hey, you're going to burn in hell, even though you didn't want to say it like that. Jesus wants you not to say that, but he wants you to love on people, love others, serve them. Get out there. If you're a pastor, get off your assets and get on the streets and take it to the byways and the highways and the hurting. Get out there. Don't act like you're something because you got a giant church and people that go there and wipe your tuchus, your butt when you're on the pulpit. Come on, get down off of there. Humble yourselves, bro, in the sight of the Lord and do what Jesus did. Jesus got down from there and he walked and he was about his father's business and he went out from town to town to town showing the love and the healing and the mercy. And he didn't say, you know, he didn't do what the thieves did. He gave. He was merciful. He loves us. Jesus loves us. He doesn't hate us. He doesn't condemn us. He wants a relationship with us so that we as believers can move on away from the drama and not think about it. I was put in a situation myself, you know, for the last 2-3 years, and God showed me the butt of the church, and it's, they're not all that way. There's beautiful churches out there. I'm not labeling the whole church. Believers, I'm labeling a few S-E-C-T-S, sects of churches. Not all of them. And if you're in a church that don't teach verse by verse, mercy, love, grace, and acceptance, get out. Go find another church that the Holy Spirit's using the pastor for. But don't allow other believers to condemn you because it's the devil in them. Listen, I'm going to pray right now. And I have I got a prayer dedication for a brother. He's hurting. He's in California and he's hurting and he's been used and he's going through it. Someone abused him and took from him and stole from him. And believers out there, he's hurting. And I want all of us, when the Bible says that when part of the body suffers, we all suffer. So let's pray right now and we're going to end this sermon and hit chapter 24 next week. Father, we come before you on growing in his word. Lord, Holy Spirit, touch the life of my brother. He's hurting, Father. He's been ripped off and he's waiting. He's been waiting a year for something that someone else burned him on. And Father, we pray for him. We pray for your mercies around him. Lord, we pray that you bless him. Everybody that's listening, Lord Jesus, we pray that they pray for that you bless him. He's going through it, Father. And you want to make him a man of God of you, Father. I feel that, Lord. And he wants that, Lord. And you want to train him up, Lord. And we're asking that you train him up now in your ministry, Father. And as he goes through this pain and suffering, Father, we know it's just for a little bit. It's a trial, Father. And we pray in Jesus' name, amen. Listen, God bless you guys out there. You know, keep praying for the people out there. I get phone calls, emails, and they want to be servants of the Lord. And they're getting hit with, you know, they want to be serving the Lord. And they're going through it, man. They're going through it through Bible college. They're going through it for whatever it is, man. But just keep praying for those out there. God wants us to love others, serve others, and become like Jesus. God bless you guys. Until next time, chapter 24. Listen, next week's going to be radical, man. We're going to be talking about, I am excited about next week. Chapter 24 is radical. We're going to be talking about, Matthew chapter, the tribulation, the disciples, the two questions. Jesus is going to lament it, you know. We're going to get into some radical stuff, man. God bless you guys, and thank you for growing in his word.